Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. The righteous reign of the coming king. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he made glorious the way of the sea, and land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exultation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. As people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Song, and you have to join me. I think you'll know it. But we'll sing it twice just in case you don't know it. All right? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? In my, where? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. One more time. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Good job. As we continue our worship series on spiritual affective disorder this week and focus on humor as a way to improve our mood and lift our spirits, especially during these winter months, I couldn't help but think about this song that I learned in Sunday school. You probably did too. I've heard that you all sing it at vacation Bible school, and it's one of those songs that certainly lightens one's spirits. This morning, the prophet Isaiah helps us with this topic by reminding us of the joy we experience in a variety of ways. Through light amidst darkness, joy at harvest time, as well as being liberated from one's oppressor. As God's mouthpiece, the prophet reiterates that the joy we feel is indeed a gift from God, and we know that joy often brings laughter, if not a smile, to our face. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So lately I have been watching reels on Facebook of the improv show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Are there any fans out there? A couple. It's the show with four guests, and the host leads them through a variety of improv comedy exercises. One of the most fun is scenes from a hat. The audience is asked before the show starts to put ideas for potential scenes for the host then to draw out of the hat for the comedians to act out. And they are hilarious. Now, we had to search to find one that was church appropriate. We think this will do it. And just to help you out with the very first one, the word he says is parking meter. Okay?
master plans of the least ambitious supervillains.
The parking meter is now non-functional.
I shall finish every single crossword puzzle in the back of the airline magazine before the next passenger. Elvis.
You will never find the other sock.
So when I am feeling the blahs, or need to simply get out of my head, I watch several reels from this show and just laugh and laugh, and I often feel a lot better. For you, it might be Saturday Night Live, a Seinfeld rerun, or an old episode of I Love Lucy, but whatever it is, when the lack of sunshine, your grief, or a problem that you have is getting you down, watch something funny and just let yourself laugh. But what in the world does the prophet Isaiah have to do about humor and laughter, you might wonder? Well, a little background about Isaiah. As I shared, I think 2 weeks ago, the book of Isaiah is thought to actually be three books in one, or Isaiah may have been written by at least three different authors, perhaps even more, according to many biblical scholars. So our passage today is from book one, which is written as Israel begins to fall to the Assyrians, preceding their Babylonian captivity. Megan Fullerton Strollo, on faculty at Virginia Theological Seminary, writes the following, and I'm sorry, this is probably one of those denser quotes that may be hard to make sense of, but I'll do my best as I read it to make it clear. So chapters 6 through 9 specifically highlight the Syro-Ephraimite War and the anti-Assyrian coalition formed by King Pekah of Israel, and that's the area called Ephraim, and King Rezin of Syria, which is the area of Aram. Thinking that they stood a better chance against Assyria with Judah's alliance, Pekah and Rezin sought to strong arm Ahaz into joining their coalition. The conflict between these three sparks the Syro-Ephraimite conflict and ultimately sets in motion the downfall of Israel by Assyria, which then leads to Israel being exiled to Babylon. So the prophet Isaiah speaks from this context, a context of conflict and war. It's one of chaos and upheaval as political leaders fight about land and people over whom they desire power and control. That should probably sound familiar in thinking about the Middle East today. In the midst of this conflict, the prophet Isaiah is reminding God's people of the hope which God offers to us through light, blessings, and joy. Joy will come when Israel's enemies are defeated. The people will celebrate when God brings light to their lives. The promise and the eventual experience of joy had to have been a great relief for this community in the midst of their devastation and suffering. And this joy, God's gift to us, often leads to smiles and laughter. So that is the connection. Now, we have all probably said at one time or another, you have to laugh to keep from crying. Humor is a great coping mechanism because it can ease tension and bring levity when we have reached the point of simply too much heaviness in our lives. Now, if you've been glued to the news over the past several weeks and are beside yourself with concern or worry, or if you have one difficult thing after another difficult thing happening to you and you just cannot bear for one more thing to go wrong, humor, even just for a few minutes, can help bring healing. According to the website thehealthy.com, when you laugh, your brain releases endorphins, the body's natural feeling-good chemicals, instantly reducing stress and boosting feelings of happiness and well-being, says Dr. Carla Robinson, MD, medical editor at GoodRx. This brings on a state of calm in your brain, which triggers a cascade of relaxation responses through your body. The physical act of laughter causes you to take deeper breaths, bringing in more oxygen to your brain and your body. Laughter also counteracts feelings of depression and anxiety by flooding the brain with those endorphins. So overall, laughter is good for our minds, for our heart, for our eyes even, because if you laugh so hard you cry, we know that tears cleanse our eyes. And laughter is good for our muscles as more oxygen gets to them, and it's good for our nervous system as well as we relax. It lowers stress. As I was working on the sermon, I came across an article from the New York Times that was just published recently, and all of this is confirmed, that laughter and humor lower stress, alleviates anxiety, and gives you energy to finish a task. It can also reduce inflammation and improve blood flow, said Dr. Michael Miller, a professor of cardiology at the University of Pennsylvania, who has researched laughter's effects on the heart. But comedian Chris Duffy writes, in a world that often feels profoundly unfunny, it can be hard to find humor. So the article really was about his book that he just wrote, just published, called Humor Me, How Laughing More Can Make You Present, Creative, Connected, and Happy. So he talks about several ways we can bring more humor into our lives. Number one, say yes to unusual things. It might give you a laugh. So in the article, I don't know if Anna put this up here. I don't think so. No. The article was written by a woman who talks about being invited to go to a fungus festival. A festival all about mushrooms and fungi and the crazy things that people do with mushrooms. So if someone invites you to go somewhere that just seems totally off the wall, do it. It'll be fun. It'll make you laugh. Second, he says, take a cue from 9-year-olds. He talks about, well, if you serve a 9-year-old a plate for breakfast with pancakes and sliced banana, what will happen? They're going to take the bananas and make a smiley face on the pancakes. Brings you a laugh. And 9-year-olds love bubble baths and all that can happen in the tub with all the bubbles. So take your cue from a 9-year-old. Be silly. Pay attention to what's around you. Often we're so focused on our phones, we forget to pay attention to what's happening. And Chris Duffy talks about being in a deli one day, and up on the wall there was a sign about CPR using bagels and cream cheese as the graphics. He got a bit from that. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Finally, make a laugh folder, either a physical file folder or virtually, with jokes, stories, or videos that make you laugh. I'm sure you can think of at least one crazy video that just had you rolling with laughter, either on Facebook or YouTube. I don't know if you remember, but several years ago, there was a video that circulated on Facebook, and it was of a young African-American dad and his toddler. They were sitting on the couch in the living room. They're watching TV, and this toddler doesn't know how to talk yet, but he's jabbering away and making all sorts of hand motions as he's motioning to the television. The dad is like, yeah, I know. Isn't that right? And the little guy just keeps jabbering away, not making any sense, hand motions, and then just laughing. And I watched that over and over again because it brought me so much joy. So if stress has really gotten to you, if you're feeling down, talk to a friend who makes you laugh, or watch a comedy or a hilarious video. It can be a saving grace and provide you a moment of levity and healing in that moment. I've told you in the past that I went to Haiti in 2007 on a mission education encounter trip. And on that trip, when we arrived in Port-au-Prince, we stayed at a guest house for several nights. And in their dining room, there was an image I had never seen before. It's going to come up on the screen. It's an image of a laughing Jesus. And as you see, Jesus is not just chuckling. He is laughing. His head back, something was delighting him in an extreme way. Now, the painting was originally entitled Jesus Christ Liberator, and it was done by a man named Willis Wheatley, who at the time was working in the administrative offices of the United Church in Canada. And the image, I don't know if he didn't copyright it or what happened, but it's been, if you go online and look up Google Laughing Jesus, this will come up, but quite a few other images will too, people who have kind of taken his image and run with it. Adapted by other artists. But I was thinking about why was this such a surprise to me to see this image. And of course, it's because we just don't see this image very often. I mean, when I was going to Sunday school, and I still have this, I have like a little 3x5 picture of Jesus that is the one where it's all shades of brown, and he has very long hair, and he's very serious. Set that beside the image of Jesus laughing. It's just so different. But it shouldn't be a surprise. We're created in the image of God. Jesus is God incarnate. We laugh, we enjoy laughing. It's good for us, but somehow over the centuries, the idea of a laughing Jesus or a laughing God has somehow escaped us. But what a gift to think about Jesus enjoying life, sitting around the table with his disciples and his friends and telling stories that made them laugh, having a good time. Now, of course, a lot of what Jesus teaches us is serious, but we need balance, right? The serious nature of what it means to be a disciple in the world, but we need to have fun and laugh as well. In 2016, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama co-authored a book entitled The Book of Joy with Douglas Abrams. And then a documentary was eventually produced called Mission Joy. These two internationally known spiritual leaders and winners, each of them of the Nobel Peace Prize, had met in middle age and developed a deep and strong friendship. They both came from parts of the world where great suffering had occurred. For Bishop Tutu, it was apartheid in South Africa. And for the Dalai Lama, it was the Chinese occupation of Tibet, which caused him to flee, and he's lived in exile since that began. So these two men have had to deal with great pain and suffering because of what their people have been going through. They've had to lead those folks through these devastating experiences. But they also understand the importance of joy and laughter. It is a delight to watch them on YouTube as they interact and laugh together. And although I haven't watched the documentary yet, I watched the trailer and it really looks wonderful. So you can stream that if that's of interest to you. But there is a website connected to all of this called missionjoy.org. And there are four things listed that will bring more joy to our life. And as I remember at the beginning, I said joy often leads to smiling and laughter. So this isn't necessarily about laughter, but about joy that can be long-lasting. So the first one kindness. Do one kind thing each day. Science shows that when we do something kind for another person or for the world, even when it's tiny and takes only a few seconds, the joy effect is big. The second is gratitude. They suggest that once a week, list 8 things for which you are grateful, or write 3 gratitude notes. So jotting a note to a friend or send an email or a text that says, I'm thankful for whatever it is. Again, studies have shown these exact dosages of gratitude are optimal for helping us feel more joyful. Imagine that. And better yet, try it. 3, reframing. List 3 potential bright sides to a problem that you are having. Or ask yourself, will this thing that is bothering me matter in 5 years? If you're obsessing about something and it's not going to matter in 5 years, is it really worth the stress? Looking for silver linings actually does help us feel better, studies show, and when we notice one silver lining, we're able to do that for other things as well. It's a cascading effect. And finally, connection. Send a friend a quick text message that will make them smile, or tell a friend or family member something big or small that you're struggling with, or tell someone you are grateful for them, or do an act of kindness. Do any of those other things in connection to someone that you know and care about. Because as I've talked about in the past, we need one another. We need to have connections with people. Those relationships bring us joy. The science is clear. The single most predictor of mental and physical health is the amount and quality of human connections that we have. We were all born to connect. If you want to read more stories about joy, go to that website. There are pages and pages of them. God's people, Israel, they were joyful about the gifts that God had given them. And the prophet reminds them that despite the war and future exile that they will endure, that joy will come again. We can be assured that God will continue to be present with us when the winter blahs set in or depression threatens to get us down. But we have been given the gift of laughter and humor as tools to help us through those challenges. So take a moment to laugh or to give someone else a laugh so that God's gift of joy will shine just a little bit brighter from you to others. This is the good news for us today. Amen.